I'll give you $5 if you know this group.
The OJs.
Were you being serious?
Yeah.
I mean, the OJs were a great group. Not even close, though.
Can you give me a hint? Like a alphabet letter or something?
H.
It starts with an H?
Yeah.
And think breakfast.
The hotcakes. The hotcakes. The hotcakes. I keep saying the hotcakes, and both of you are just looking at me.
Because you're...
You said breakfast and an H.
Any better.
The
hamburgers.
The hash browns.
The hash browns.
I mean, you gave me a hit of H and breakfast. What do you want me to do?
Hall and Oates.
Hall and Oates. You know Hall and Oates. You grew up with Hall and Oates, right?
This is embarrassing.
Of course it's embarrassing because you're involved in it. And you made it. I'll give you a breakfast item. You made it mush.
Hotcakes.
Yeah, hotcakes. Hash browns. Let's do the hamburgers.
They're the hotcakes.
It's called Man Eater. Another food reference, right?
Well, the youngest in charge movement, when we refer to someone as an eater, it's normally not a good thing. Okay. I would say that.
Well, it's the name of a song from 40 years ago. Well, I didn't name it.
Well, there we go.
All right. Let's do this. Let me give you this. So we told you about the Eagles, right? And their playoff odds.
Yep.
Yes, -260. No, +200. They have a 72.2% chance they will make the playoffs. Okay, according to Bet Online, or an implied odds. Now, we haven't gotten to the Commanders yet because obviously that's what we're going to do a lot of tomorrow, but you're not going to be here tomorrow, right? And you said you're busy running around doing whatever you're doing.
I'll make time.
Okay.
I'll make time. I'll try to make time to call in. I will.
But if I asked you this right here, right now, after a summer being bullish,
right,
as you know what, and talking yourself off the ledge 2 weeks ago and saying, this team sucks, this roster sucks.
Sorry, I said the team sucks. I said the roster sucks.
Sorry, the roster sucks. Are you in or out on the Commandalorians making the playoffs? Let's start there.
I don't want to be painted as some homer, but yeah, I'm in on them making the damn playoffs. Why wouldn't I be?
So they're going to be.
It is all predicated on quarterback. I think there is going to be a sizable improvement at quarterback when we give our NFC rankings. I have them as my 7th seed in the conference.
Okay. That's what I wanted from you.
That's what I got.
So that's how you start. I'm going to say no, they are not going to make the playoffs.
Very on brand, very hater, very Damore.
How is that being a hater? I pick them to be like 8-8 every year. I've got a little something coming for you tomorrow. My official record for the Washington Commanders.
Chris Ross is going to pick them to go tomorrow. 6-11.
I am not going to pick them to go 6-11.
5-12.
I am not going to pick them to go 5-12. Let me get the NFC East winner from you. NFC East winner.
NFC East winner for me and the number one seed in the NFC Conference, Saquon Barkley and the Philadelphia Eagles.
Ooh, I like how you Eagles, say Saquon Barkley and
yes,
the Philadelphia.
I think
Eagles,
if I had enough money to put some change down on a futures bet for offensive player of the year, it would go to Saquon Barkley.
Really?
And
why are you so confident about Saquon as opposed to A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or Jalen Hurts? Or
despite the reputation of their boob play caller, Kellen Moore, I think they are going to make a concerted effort to run the football this year. Saquon Barkley, for his entire career, Chris, has been the focal point.
Let me just ask you.
What?
Were you calling Brian Johnson a boob last year when he was running the Eagles' offensive show?
No, but Kellen Moore's a boob. He went to L.A. and had the best quarterback he'll ever get married with and wasted it. Uh-huh. But Saquon Barkley, I think, is in line for a massive year. I think he's going to have a Christian McCaffrey type of impact, but here's why. For the entirety of his career in New York,
mm-hmm.
when the scouting report came out, it was Saquon Barkley at the top, and all eyes were on him.
Yeah.
8-9-man boxes. I don't think that is going to be – well, I know that's not going to be the case in Philadelphia. And he's also running behind the best offensive line he's ever played behind. Like he is going to be an afterthought for opposing defenses, and I think that allows him – to really, have a significant impact and put up some big-time numbers, I think. Now, it could go the other way around, where the pass game is the big beneficiary of Saquon.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles
have... But remember, he's going to be involved in the pass game, too. It's not just run the ball. I mean, I'd be very disappointed, quite honestly, just from a NFL perspective, whether you want to take it as gambling information, props, odds, whatever, fantasy football, just real talk. I'd be very disappointed if like we get to the end of the regular season and say Saquon has played, I don't know, 16 out of 17 games. I guess it's not fair to always expect somebody to play 17 games, especially he's got some injury history.
Right.
I'd be very disappointed if Saquon is sub 50 receptions.
Oh, I would have to
think. I mean, right? I would think he's probably going to be there, in the mid-60s.
But that's the thing, though, Chris. Is he? Are there enough football? Because if they were so willing to have him as a member of the passing game, they would have added another running back and not traded for Jahan Dotson and used him as a slot.
No, but I think, like, your point about being symbiotic, right? Like, who do you shut down? Okay, I'm going to load the box with eight and try and take away Saquon Barkley. All right, well, I'm going to backdoor your ass and, you know, throw screen after screen after screen to not only Saquon Barkley and all these leak routes and whatever, but to Dallas Goedert. Okay, you're going to try and take away A.J. Brown? Well, I'm going to hit you with Devontae Smith and Jahan Dotson, maybe lined up side by side. Oh, and just when you think you have a pattern on that, I'm going to go stretch the field on A.J. Brown. I'm going to go short. I'm going to go up the sideline. I'm going to run a deep post to A.J. Brown. I'm going to, you know, again, there's so many different ways the Eagles can probably beat you. They have so many more weapons than do the Commanders, than do the Giants, than do the Cowboys, even as we just discussed. I think the Eagles, quite honestly, I'd be very surprised if they do not win this division. I've got them winning the division by two games.
I think they'll be the number ones. I think I have the best record maybe in the whole NFL, Chris.
Interesting. All right. So you like the Eagles. I like the Eagles to win the NFC East. Having problems again with my computer here, straightening everything out. In terms of the NFC North, this was one that I really struggled with because everybody's sexy pick is the Detroit Lions, right? And Boy Wonder Ben, and they play indoors, you know, Danny Ruggier style, 14 out of their first 15 games, and they're built for the indoors, and nobody can beat them. And listen, I understand Jared Goff, Sam LaPorta, Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think Jameson Williams is going to be a stud this year.
Finally gets unleashed.
I'd be very disappointed if he comes away and is not a major, major buzz name.
I could agree with that.
Over the course of the season. Great offensive line. They bolstered it a little bit on the interior. I think they lost Jonah Jackson, and they brought in Zeitler from Baltimore. One of Baltimore's losses, which we may see the effect of tonight.
Penei Sewell's health is right? A question going into the opener, at least.
All right. But Detroit, and then you have Green Bay, who majorly invested not only in Jordan Love, but also people forget about this. They brought, what's his name, Vegas Raiders, Josh Jacobs, and got rid of Aaron Jones. Well, the last time we saw Aaron Jones, he was running all over Dan Quinn and the Cowboys defense's ass.
It's true. So who do you like in this division? You didn't even mention Chicago, who is everyone's flavor of the week right now.
Right.
My division winner for the NFC North is also my two seed in the NFC.
Mm.
The Green Bay Packers. I look at Green Bay and think about this, right? We know Matt LaFleur is off of that Kyle Shanahan, Mike Shanahan tree. In his heart of hearts, he wants to run the football. Aaron Jones, is not a bell cow back. Josh Jacobs is. Josh Jacobs is a guy that can handle 25, 30 carries per contest. I don't know if Jordan Love puts up big, gaudy numbers because I think they'll have real balance offensively. They drafted my favorite tackle in the draft in Jordan Morgan, who didn't give up a single sack at Arizona as a left tackle. He's going to be their starting right guard. I think they're much improved up front. They added Xavier McKinney to their back end defensively, who another addition that I think is really stout. I already like what they have on the outside corner with Jair Alexander. He's one of the best in the game.
And he struggled a little bit last year. Health-wise, scheme-wise, a little frustrated. They got rid of my guy Joe Barry.
They weren't aggressive enough defensively last year. Yeah. That was the big complaint.
I think that, you know, they hired the Boston College head coach.
Who's going to come in and dial it up.
Who left Boston College. Why? To become a coordinator in the NFL. Why?
Because he wants to be an NFL coach. Not because of NIL, not because of the damn portals.
Right.
Oh! Stop, Chris. But no, in all seriousness, people asleep on the Packers. I think people asleep on Jordan Love.
I agree. First of all, the Packers take on the Eagles tomorrow.
Week one.
And it's right here on the Team 980.
Right off the rip.
Yeah. In Brazil, where apparently they can't go out, whatever, do this, that. I like the Packers, too. That's my pick to win the NFC North. See, unfortunately, we're agreeing too many times.
I hate that you agree with me because it almost means I have the same IQ level.
It means we're probably going to be wrong, right? Look, the Lions defense, I think, might be a little bit improved, right? And I love Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know if they're significantly improved.
See, that's why I disagree. Like, I think Green Bay wins this division, but I also think they have multiple playoff teams out of this division as well. I like Detroit, but not Chicago, to go to the playoffs out of this division.
Okay.
I think
I don't think that's egregious by any means.
It's not, but when you see some
folks...
It's
possible you can get three teams in the playoffs, too.
For sure, and depending on how weak the other conferences in the NFC are going to be, that may be the case. But everyone, to a man, has put these massive Chicago, Illinois-size expectations on Caleb and the Bears. Mm-hmm. Their defense... And I looked this up last night, Chris, and I'm going to pull it up here again. Their defense, I will admit, was marketably better in the second half of the season once they acquired Montez Sweat.
Oh, it was way better.
But can we not act as if they played a bunch of juggernaut offenses after the deadline?
Here's what I know. The Chicago Bear defense shut down the Lions offense. Now, granted, it was at Soldier Field. And
they scored 26 points still, though.
They shut them down for most of that game.
I hear what you're saying.
Watch the game.
I hear what you're saying.
You know,
but then they also went up and gave 28 to them 2 weeks prior, 2 weeks after.
No, I know.
So
I know, but are you talking about the Lions Bears game at Soldier Field?
The Lions Bears game at Soldier Field was a 28-13 Bears win.
That's what I was saying.
I'm sorry, I read it wrong.
Right,
you're
talking about the Thanksgiving game where the Packers won in Detroit. Yes.
That's where this is November 19th, week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, gotcha. Where the Bears were in Detroit. Gotcha.
At Ford Field, it was 31-26.
Okay, fine.
They threw the ball all over the yard on that defense.
Fine. Nobody's saying that I like what the Bears are all about. I like what the Bears have built, of course, on both sides of the football. I think they've had a tremendous offseason. However, what I still worry about is their offensive line, one.
Yes.
Two, I do worry, they were looking for another edge pass rusher. Now, they made a trade to help themselves out, and I would say they plugged a hole. But I don't know if this is a defense that right now is ready to just dominate on a consistent basis. Can they dominate certain games, especially as it gets a little colder? If Montez Sweat is doing what he did last year, if Jalen Johnson, who came back on a big contract. Yeah, I think this division could have three playoff teams. But right now, until I see Caleb Williams do it consistently in the NFL, until I see Keenan Allen stay healthy, I don't know if their offense is going to be this juggernaut that can carry the defense unless the defense is even more dramatically improved than it was down the stretch for the most part last year.
So this is my thing. They open up the first 5 weeks against five formidable pass rushes: Tennessee, Houston, Indianapolis, the Rams, and then the Panthers. Now, the Panthers, I whisper when I say the Panthers. Mm-hmm. But you get what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. That I agree with you. That to me is their big issue. Can they protect Caleb Williams? Can they get him to play within structure? I think balance is going to be a bigger part of their offense than we're talking about as well. By season's end, if all goes well for Chicago, we may be talking about Roschon Johnson and DeAndre Swift and Khalil Herbert as maybe one of the best backfields in the NFL. They've got three guys that can legitimately
that can
do everything.
Yeah.
Roschon's your power guy. Herbert's got you with speed. Swift does both. I like it. I'm not buying the Bears, though. And the offensive line, like you said, is a concern. I think their defense is overrated. I continue to stand on that.
I don't know.
They have nice pieces.
I don't know if overrated is what I'm looking for, but maybe it's just not as good as it showed at times down the stretch.
It's being billed like they're returning a top five unit, and that's, to me, not the case. Not at all. And they're playing in a difficult division.
They are.
The Vikings
are
going to be bad.
That Minnesota.
Well, I don't know how bad they're going to be, because if Kevin pulls out the magic juice, And Sam Darnold.
There's
turns
only so
into-
much you can do with Sam Darnold for 17 games. I mean, if they had J.J. McCarthy still, I might be, well, they could always go to J.J. McCarthy. Now they don't have J.J. McCarthy at all, period.
It's going to be fascinating.
I mean, I think that division is clearly the best in the NFC, right? Just like the AFC North is clearly the best in the AFC. Both North divisions are, I think, clearly the best, and there's
I think you're smoking. I think the AFC South is going to rival
the AFC South.
Yes,
better than the NFC North. Better than the AFC
I think the North? I think the AFC South at season's end will be viewed better than the AFC North. Think about the four quarterbacks in this division. These could be the four future quarterbacks of the NFL: C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence, and Will Mayonnaise Drinking Levis.
Well, Will Levis better be good because both of us picked the Tennessee Titans to make the playoffs. But that's not all the reason why I picked the Tennessee Titans.
I think they'll have balance
to make
and they'll
the
be
playoffs.
Tough.
But you're crazy if you think the AFC South right now, today.
I think at season's end, that's how we're going to view it.
At season's end, maybe.
Because I don't think Pittsburgh's worth the damn. I think Deshaun Watson's cooked.
By the way.
I think Joe Burrow can't stay healthy. Russell Wilson already on
the injury report. He reported calf tightness.
That's the same calf that he got from pushing a damn sled.
And did you see this real quickly before we take the time out and get the rest of the NFC picks?
What's up?
Did you see who was not at Commander's practice early on today?
Stop it. Give it to me after the break.
Ooh.
Please give it to me after the break. But you can't sit here and tell me, though. Seriously.
Linnell's favorite guy.
In reality, though, you can't sit here and tell me that in terms of, maybe I'll phrase it this way. In terms of the outlook of these divisions moving forward in the AFC in particular, when I list those four quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence,
Anthony
Will Levis.
Anthony Richardson's got to stay on the field. If
Shane Steichen could squeeze out 9 wins with Gardner Minshew,
there's also no Gardner Minshew.
What the hell do you think he's going to do with Anthony Richardson?
Okay, but the AR's got to stay on the field. B's got to be consistent. And C, there is no Gardner Minshew.
Well, I'm confident in what they have at the backup quarterback because Joe Flacco's just fine.
Okay, maybe.
He is.
Maybe.
He is. You are a certified hater, though, so I understand.
Joe Flacco was terrible up until a late season run with the Cleveland Browns.
Everybody got them to the playoffs, Chris.
Their defense got them to the playoffs.
And I'm talking about
Everybody hated Joe Flacco with the Jets, with the Ravens, what have you. I'm talking about Joe Flacco in the scenario
of being a backup with this team.
Okay.
With this team.
Is he better than Gardner Minshew?
Sure.
I don't know.
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, I would say Gardner Minshew is better.
But I think you're severely asleep on how... The AFC South can be the division that rules the NFL.
Rest of the NFC picks coming up. And we'll clean up shop on everything here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, along with the youngest in charge, Lionel Willingham.
See, we got new listeners every day. You need to pronounce my name correctly. It's Linnell Willingham.
It's not Nell. It's not Nell, even though it's Nell's Super Six Pack. It's the host of the pregame show, along with D-Day, starting at 2 o'clock on Sunday on the Team 980 and throughout the game for in-game live.
And there's one little nugget you didn't mention.
Uh-huh.
If you want to get the most entertainment during your viewing experience on Sunday, join the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream. You will catch us pregame and during the game live.
So they're going to break out the cameras for you guys,
huh? Break it. We're big time, Chris Russell. This is.
And his name was like Longfellow Tibwad or something.
The fact that page decided to follow Greg Giannotti, it has to be you, Chris. Matt, I haven't accused you.
It's not.
But it's one of those things where it's like you bring in the most obvious suspect last for interrogation because you want to scour the other, or source the other people.
I mean, I'm just looking at Longfellow _TWOD, and you know, I did notice that on his subheading, on the subheading, they did change the name from what it said yesterday to TIWAD.
Because they want you to read it.
It got rid of a certain letter that I couldn't then pronounce or say on the radio because I didn't want to get in trouble because I censor myself. please make sure you're following and contributing to @Longfellow_TWAD.
I'm going to tweet it
on X. All right. Real quickly here, we got to motor through these. The rest of the NFC picks. So we both have the Eagles and we both have the Packers as division winners. Who you got in the NFC South?
This was really tough for me because I want to buy what Raheem Morris and company are selling, but I cannot ignore and erase, one, the consistency that this team has, the continuity that they have, rather, coming from last year to this year, 10 out of your 11 starters returning on defense, as you've been highlighting. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers win the NFC South. I think if you remember the way the last postseason went, they were Baker Mayfield threw a pick during a game-tying drive attempt.
Yeah.
They were tied 10 apiece with the Lions at halftime on the road.
Yeah.
Chris.
They were in that game until the very last second.
So, realistically speaking, like, I think we're very sleep on how good Tampa is.
I don't think I'm sleeping on how good Tampa is. Maybe what I'm guilty of right here, and a lot of this will depend on Kirk, whether Kirk comes back to being Kirk.
And that's my question.
I think the Falcons have significantly improved.
I don't like what they have on the losing Rondale Moore was a big thing for them. Darnell Mooney's in an elevated role now. I'm not sure I like what they have at the skill position groups.
I mean, Rondale Moore is. He was not great in Arizona before coming over to Atlanta and then getting
their
hurt.
Wide receiver three is Ray McCloud.
I know. Ray McCloud's more of like a special gadget type guy.
So I wonder, you know, what they have at receiver. But
I mean, they bolstered their defense in the last couple of weeks, with Justin Simmons and with Matthew Judon.
Doesn't matter, though, because it's a run-first team. It's going to be a run-first.
Right, but they bolstered their pass rush, their overall coverage on the back end, their leadership. All that.
That's fine.
For me, I'm going with the Falcons. I would love to see Kirk Cousins to make sure he's back to being Kirk Cousins. I don't know that. I know they love Michael Penix. I love their way. I picked Bijan Robinson number 4 overall in the show's fantasy league, right? Number 4 overall, which probably is too rich. But I love Bijan Robinson in this offense this year. The kid, what's his name?
Tyler Allgeier.
Tyler Allgeier, yes. But what's his name comes over? Zach Robinson comes over from the Rams. Obviously, he and Raheem work together. They're going to run the ball. They're going to mix it up. They're going to a lot of short. I think Bijan Robinson probably going to have 70 catches at the end of the year, something like that. I don't know. I'm gambling maybe a little bit too hard. I think it's the Falcons. You say it's the Buccaneers. NFC West, is this easy?
No, it's not.
Okay.
See, I'm a believer that it is boom or bust for the San Francisco 49ers. I am happy for them that they got Trent and Ayuk back in the building.
Yep.
I have a big question mark with Colton McKivitz on the right side. I think Jake Brendel. In the middle at center.
Their offensive line is not very good. Outside of Trent Williams.
So I wonder that. This is more so me, I guess. I hate San Francisco. I'll be real with you. I can't stand the Niners. I picked the Rams.
You're going with the Rams.
I'm going with the Rams. I do have the Niners as a wild card team, though. But if you look at what the Rams were able to do now, the loss to Darius Williams that we just reported is going to be tough for them. But defensively, I think they're unheralded.
Is he IR like 4 games? Or are they saying any specific?
He's a 4-game IR.
Okay.
But I think their defense is young, up and coming, and has some like sneaky pieces. Like most people don't know Kobe Turner, but he was a guy that racked up damn near 10 sacks for him last year. Yep. They brought in Neville Gallimore over from Dallas to give you some interior juice.
But you lose Raheem Morris. You lose Aaron Donald.
Yeah, but Jared Verse is coming in
Cam Curl, who you had making $20 million a year.
Cam Curl and John Johnson make up one of the best.
Remember that argument?
Oh, God. Cam Curl, John Johnson,
that was the first
Cam
of
Kitchens.
Your ridiculous arguments this offseason. Only usurped the fact that Angel Reese would win Rookie of the Year over Caitlin Clark. I mean, if we had the hit list of how many ridiculous, absurd arguments that you yelled and screamed about, I mean, my God, and at the mercy of the evaluator, and then this roster sucks. I mean, if we had a true scoreboard of what you've yelled about over the last 8 months, it would be like Russell 492 to Linnell 3.
Good thing we're not keeping score.
Yeah, good thing.
I like their addition of Jonah Jackson. They re-signed Kevin Dotson.
All right, we can go through the whole roster. Who are your two wild card teams ahead of Washington?
San Fran and Detroit.
Okay. San Fran and Detroit. In that order?
Yes, five seed.
And then Washington is your wild card three, right?
Washington's my seven seed in the wild
seed.
Card.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go, because I picked the 49ers to win the division, I'm going to go with the Rams to make a wild card. Again, just kind of flipping. And I realized some of your argument about the 49ers, and it could easily flip. But I'm going to go 49ers, Rams wild card one. Again, just like we discussed, I'm going to go Detroit wild card two, right in the middle there. And then I'm going to go, as we kind of just talked about, Tampa wild card three, which squeezes out the Commanders. Of course, the Commanders, the Giants, and it also squeezes out the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys go 9-8 this year. I think the Cowboys don't make the playoffs. I think Mike McCarthy gets fired maybe even before the end of the season because things are rough and up and down and shaky, and Jerry Jones gets scared out of his mind. I have the Cowboys not making the playoffs. Is that suicide?
I don't think it's crazy. I want, like I highlighted, I think the two new starters up front on the offensive line, plus Terrence Steele, who I have no confidence in. And then defensively, like, for as good as they've been the last 3 years, they have lost virtually everything that's made them good. From the architect in Dan Quinn, from the depth in the rotational guys in the pass rush, and then you're starting outside corners are a question mark.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get to a final trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980, and we'll come back for our final picks in terms of the championship game and a little look at tonight's season opener in the NFL, which we will have more on in just a sec. All right, first, the executive that made some very controversial and quite honestly stupid comments on a hidden video first released by O'Keefe Media Group yesterday has been fired now by the Washington Commanders. Former vice president of content, Rael Antin, again, was fired by the team after being initially suspended. The team had no other comment on the matter. Meanwhile, Washington on the practice field, and guess who wasn't out there at the start, at least? Maybe he came out during when media was closed off. Marcus Mariota, first reported by Ben Standing of The Athletic. No Marcus Mariota sighting at the beginning of practice. We'll wait to see if we get a further clarification on that through the injury report. And, of course, the continued fallout and sadness for the brothers Johnny Gaudreau and Matt Gaudreau, who were killed in a drunk driving accident last week on the eve of their sister's wedding. The funeral for both brothers has now been set for Monday in suburban Philadelphia, while the man that's accused of killing them while, again, drinking remains in jail awaiting his next court appearance. And that's what's trending. All right, all of our football coverage is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, so Linnell Willingham is with us, of course, in studio right here on a Throwdown Thursday. So I have, as my wild card teams, I have the Los Angeles Rams, the Detroit Lions, and the Tampa Bay Bucks 1-3, or as the 5, 6, and 7 seeds. You have San Francisco, Detroit, and you went with your heart and maybe your head.
My head,
Washington Commanders.
Yes.
As your three, which of course means I don't have the Commanders making the playoffs, yes, because I had the Eagles, Packers, Falcons, 49ers winning the division. You had the Eagles, Packers, Bucks, and Rams winning the respective divisions. Now, who is going to be the NFC Conference Championship? What two
match
teams?
Can, yeah. So I think in the NFC title game, we get Eagles and Lions. I don't know if. Is that possible?
Sure it is.
Based on the seeding that I have? I like the Eagles and the Lions. If it's not going to be Eagles-Lions, I like Eagles and Packers. But I think Detroit goes on the road, wins a playoff game, proves to everybody that they're tough enough to win, and then goes to Philly and loses.
Okay.
I have the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
All right. So you have the Eagles in Detroit. We're just going to go with that. You mm-hmm. have the Eagles going in the Super Bowl. I wish my computer would actually work, but it doesn't. You have that. All right. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers.
Gosh, shocker. Kyle's number one fan. Chris Russell. Are you on the payroll? over there, up there in Santa Clara?
I'm going with the San Francisco 49ers and another team that I'm apparently on the payroll because me and Matt LaFleur used to just hang.
And old Matty Flores, man.
I mean, we just used to hang in
you,
the
Matt, Mike McDonald.
McDaniel.
Sorry, Mike.
McDaniel and I had a different relationship. Like, we, you know, like, we...
Y'all were cool. Y'all, I mean, we'd
go out socially.
Y'all put a few back.
Matt LaFleur wasn't going out socially.
Well, no, he was probably...
Young man, family, just had a baby. But he's a good young coach. Used to talk to him all the time. I'm going with the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers, which means somebody knocks off the Eagles... You know, of course, prior to that, I don't know which team, but somebody knocks off the Eagles. Super Bowl matchup. If you've got the Eagles going, we never got your AFC pick in terms of going to the Super Bowl. But the way you were talking, Kansas City Chiefs. Okay, so you got the Eagles versus Kansas City. Does Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs get the three-peat?
Yes, they do, and we'll be calling him the greatest quarterback of all time.
All right. I went with the Dolphins and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And before you roll your eyes again, the Miami Dolphins as my AFC winner.
Wow.
In the NFC, again, I have San Francisco versus Green Bay. In the NFC Championship game, I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers to win the NFC. That means Green Bay and Matt LaFleur versus the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel. More Shanahan tree graphics, baby, just to rub it in all of your faces, just to annoy the ever-loving crap out of you. And one of them would be guaranteed a win. But which team? Which team wins? The Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl in New Orleans. How about them apples?
Chase Young and the Saints probably think they're going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they can think all they want.
I think Chase can have a big year, dude.
What does that have to do with my Super Bowl pick?
I'm sorry, but I'm ready
to... What does that have to do with my Super Bowl pick?
I had to sprinkle some Chase Young content in here.
Yeah, I know you're a Chase-actual.
Because my dog
And now you're back on the bandwagon again because you're hearing good reports.
I'm hearing great
reports. My dog, my boy.
Him, Kalon Sanders.
You know, yeah, I can't kill his daddy for Brian Grant doing it and Danny anymore. Come on.
Isaiah Foskey.
Who are you talking
about? Willie Gay. They got a good pass rush out in New Orleans, man.
Isaiah who?
Foskey.
Foskey?
Foskey? You don't know who Isaiah Foskey is?
No.
For someone that considers himself a draft analyst.
No. Nobody knows who Isaiah Foskey is.
I guarantee you, if a caller calls in right now and can name who Isaiah Foskey is, I'll shout you out on Twitter.
Trust me, nobody knows. I promise you, nobody knows. All right. Anyway, that is our NFC picks. Again, we'll do more Commanders over-under and final record projections.
I wanted to do this thing tomorrow, though, Chris. And maybe, I don't know if we fit it in at all. Matt, we have to include you in this because you're like the key to making this happen. I want me and you, and I guess if we can get your AARP tag team partner on Tuesdays to participate, I'd love to pick every game this year and whoever finishes with the best record.
Well, you can also submit, you mean every game in every week.
Yeah, I want to pick games. And I want to have a guest picker.
Okay.
That we bring in each week.
Is this college game day, for God's sakes? You want me to bring in Sheamus? For crying out loud, you want me to have a private jet bring somebody in here? Come on, give me a break. How about you submit your picks to me and I can read them on the air? And I can write them all down. And I can keep track. And we can have the leader of the AARP Tuesday radio program do the same if he wants to participate. Matt hates fantasy football, but Matt, you're more than welcome.
Oh, I know Matt would like to pick games, right?
Are we going
to
do spread or not spread? Or are we just picking winners and losers?
I just want to pick winners. Money, winners and losers. So okay. I'm in the...
Let's do that. All right. It is time now to do what we do on the back end of every show when we can, which we can today. Something we didn't get to just yet. We do it now. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. what we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. Ah, yes, indeed. Clean up on aisle three. It is time, boys and girls, children of all ages. The NFL season opener is tonight. We have hardly talked about it at all. The Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson, who lost the AFC Championship game because they simply refused to run the football.
He was hurt, according to the Washington Post.
Against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, who Linnell just picked to win the Super Bowl for a third year in a row. Arrowhead Stadium, 8:15 Eastern time tonight, the official kickoff of the NFL season. Who you got?
I'm going to go... Oh, gosh, it's tough. It's week one. I'm going to go with Kansas City, but I don't do that confidently because I do think Baltimore, with Derrick Henry, I imagine if this was 2019 and we were talking about those two playing together. People would be scared out of their mind. I do think they get it done tonight. Expect Samaje Perine to get a good amount of burn as the third down
back. Just got there.
But it's already going to be the third down.
Absolutely. Back. And that's going to make a little bit of a difference. Remember, it's also against a reworked Ravens defense.
For sure.
Losing Mike McDonald, losing Patrick Queen, but keeping Matt Ebukwe. They're going against a rookie left tackle in Kingsley Suamataia. Suamataia, who was the second round pick of the Chiefs. He replaces Donovan Smith, starting left tackle. So that if the Baltimore Ravens are going to win this game, they might have to win that particular matchup.
Yeah.
However, that ultimately shakes out in the end. I think the Kansas City Chiefs get the job done tonight. Remember, they lost the season opener at Arrowhead to the Detroit Lions last year.
They had the books in shambles.
They didn't have Kelsey.
They did.
And they didn't have Chris Jones. They have Kelsey and Chris Jones tonight. And I think Baltimore had some major hits on their offensive line. I think they'll eventually recover. I think they'll eventually run the ball more effectively with Derrick Henry. I do not think it'll be with great success tonight. Take Kansas City at home in the season opener. Meanwhile, the Nationals, you know what they did last night, Linnell?
What'd they do?
They lost for the first time this year to the Miami Marlins.
In the stinker.
Yeah. They lost.
I love extras.
So here's the great news. Mackenzie Gore pitched very well again last night for the Washington Nationals. That's his third really good start in a row, and maybe I'm cutting him short, but I know it's at least the last three. But they lost to the Marlins for the first time this year. Normally a team that gives them all sorts of fits. We know the Marlins stink. They lost 4-3 in walk-off fashion in extra innings. Certainly nothing that you can go, oh my God, how could they lose? How could they embarrass? Whatever. They played a relatively clean game, just not enough. They scored 3 runs in the 8th. That's the only real criticism that I guess you could have, is they kind of wasted a good start, a really good start by Mackenzie Gore. 6 innings, 1 hit, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Again, he continues to finally get it together after struggling for about 2 months. Mackenzie Gore, the arrow pointing in the right direction. And you hope this is just Mackenzie Gore, not for the rest of his career where he has a 2-month swoon and then figures it out, but this is like the Mackenzie Gore they're getting now is the Mackenzie Gore they're going to get. Buy in, start out. Because remember, Patrick Corbin has had a renaissance here. So, he ain't going to be here next year.
So realistically, what is Mackenzie in this rotation? Your third starter?
No, he is your number one guy. And that's the problem.
You don't think they're going to add a number one in free agency?
I think they're going to try and come up short. I think they're going to be in the process for Corbin Burns or somebody like that, and they're just not going to pay. They're not going to pay $300 million, I don't think, for a starting pitcher. I think he is your number one, but I'll say it by default.
That's fair.
With Josiah Gray banged up, so many other guys coming back, what have you. By the way, do you want to know the attendance last night?
What was the attendance?
At Lone Depot Park? What would you guess?
Marlins stink. Nats are irrelevant. Under 5,000?
Not exactly right, but not that far off. 6,000.
Yeah.
100.
Doesn't shock me.
And 56.
And how many seats is that ballpark?
It's about 42,000, I want to say, somewhere in that range.
So I got a question. Yeah. Andrew Siciliano, local cat, our guy, Richmond, VA native.
I think he's a Maryland native, but not Richmond, VA.
I thought he was from Maryland. I thought he was from Virginia.
I have to double check, but I thought he was from Southern Maryland.
Just got named the play-by-play voice of the Cleveland Browns.
Yep, congratulations.
Who takes over on NFL Red Zone on DirecTV?
I have no idea. I don't watch that. I don't have DirecTV. I watch Scott Hansen, who's probably going to leave Red Zone on... on whatever distribution platform. He's entering the final year of his contract. That guy's going to get paid a ton.
Oh, he's a star.
A ton of money.
I remember Scott Hansen when he was on, he started ESPN, I believe.
Yeah, he's a ton of money. He's going to get paid a fortune.
He's really
Life is good if you're Scott Hansen because everybody loves the guy. All right, Nationals in Pittsburgh tonight, 6:45, the first pitch, 106.7 The Fan, Odyssey app, pregame coverage, all of that. The game day weather at PNC Park. Right around game time is going to be right around 81 degrees. And the good news, no precipitation in the forecast. Sunny at the start of the game, obviously turning in partly cloudy as the game goes on with highs dropping into the low to mid 70s. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at pepco.com/storm prep. When we return, dum-dum of the day. Are we going to go back to a story that we mentioned earlier in the show once and briefly, and maybe you weren't listening? Or are we going to go with a story that I've identified as something that made me, well, smile and laugh and shake my head?
You're my candidate for dum-dum of the day.
It's
seafood salad smuggler.
Oh, man, that is cruel. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping it up, dum-dum of the day. Craig Hoffman coming up next. He'll take you home on this Thursday afternoon. Don't forget Packers-Eagles tomorrow right here on the Team 980. Tonight, talking Terps with Coach Loxley after a big season-opening win against UConn and with Michigan
Are you
State.
Being sarcastic? It'd be coming UConn.
In.
Come on.
It was a big win.
If Billy Edwards comes out this weekend against Michigan State, who also isn't very good.
It was a big win. Now, we wrap up the show. I would like to wrap up the show.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
I would pay a lot of money to see Linnell Willingham participate in this event. Matt found this via the New York Post and I forgot the other publication. Hundreds of revelers came to a pub beer garden on Monday and watched the World Gravy Wrestling Championships.
What?
Yes, it was an international competition named one of the top 10 weirdest sports in the world. 16 men, 8 women battled in the sauce-soaked ring. How did they make up the ring? Well, apparently with 528 gallons of gravy. The event held annually at the Rose and Bowl Pub in Rossendale-Lancashire. Competitors dress up all fancy schmancy. They try and beat up their opponent during a 2-minute long wrestling match. Dude, I saw some guy Undertaker style take some dude in the gravy and just powerbomb his ass into a big, gigantic vat of what looked to be very watery, very juicy brown gravy.
Gravy is such... I've never seen a condiment that ruins food more. Is it considered a condiment?
Absolutely nuts.
If you need
gravy is the best. Well, again, you proved how little you know. A great gravy. Yeah, sausage gravy is awesome. A good brown gravy over mashed potatoes. A good brown gravy over roast pork egg foo young at a Chinese restaurant. The best!
I had to take away his microphone because he was bashing gravy too much.
Anyway, Matt says he had to censor you because you're killing gravy too much. Anyway, anybody that showed up at this thing, anybody that signed up for it, you 24 dum-dums wrestling in a vat of gravy, get something else to do in your life.
Congratulations. You're Chris's Dumb Dumb of the Day.
You got to see the pictures of this. It's a very watery gravy, and people are half dressed in the nude, and they're literally doing wrestling moves. And I can't explain how dumb these people are, but that's why we honored them. All right, Craig Hoffman coming up next. Linnell?
I want to say goodbye to the people because technically, I guess it's the last time you'll hear from me.
Until
you join
Sunday
me
pregame?
Sunday on the pregame show.
You're on
I
a
love this team.
Looks like you're on a minute's restriction, my friend. Oh, thanks to Matty Ice.
The hell with you, Chris Russell.
Thanks to Matty Ice. Thanks to all the callers. Thanks for being with us. Craig Hoffman coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 1 o'clock on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Adios.